see Sister Chelsea this morning, and it's so good to see each and every one of you today. And I ask that you be in prayer for Brandy. She's at home sick this morning, and it's just like we've kind of joked in recent days. She's just regular sick, not the new sick. She's just regular sick. Thinks just the sinus infection, but I do miss having her with me here this morning. But I appreciate Mom and Dad being here. Appreciate everyone here. And if you're visiting, just make yourself at home. It's so good to see you here. And all these young families, what a blessing it is to see that this morning. You know, it's important for you to be in church, but it's important to have your kids in church this morning. You know, we're looking around and trying to keep up with things that's going on nationally. And it was kind of funny last night. I was trying to find news to watch. I was looking around and I just started looking for certain topics, and I went to YouTube and was looking for topics there. And Brandy said, "I thought you were going to watch the news." And I said, "I am." She said, "That's not the news, that's YouTube." And I said, "Well, the news that you check on TV a lot of times isn't real news." I was like, "You got to watch what you're looking at and what you're looking for to get real news." But learned yesterday that Israel's involved with what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. I think actually if you read some of the articles, they're kind of smack dab in the middle of it. So I urge you to keep your eye on Israel right now. Always, but right now. As these days are approaching, things can happen fast. And I believe they're going to move fast. I think in the last few years, it's kind of hard to believe. We're about 2 years removed from a worldwide shutdown. But you know, it seems like while that was going on, our minds and our eyes were really focused on what was taking place. And then as things eased off, it seems like we eased off, but there's no letting off the gas right now. Christians, you and I need to have our eyes on the prize more so now than any other time in history. As we see these things happening, I tell you, I just thank God I know where I'm going, and I thank God I know who I'm going with. I can trust in Him, I can trust in His Word, and when I really need the news and I really need to see what I need to know, I promise you I can find it right here in His Word, and I thank God for that. It's a roadmap. We might not know exactly when things are going to happen, but we can trace it through God's Word and see exactly where we are in time. And I thank God for that. If you will, let's be turning to the book of Luke, chapter number 9. The book of Luke, chapter number 9. Just thank the Lord for such a beautiful day out there, seeing the sunshine come through the windows. And I got out yesterday and was able to work outside a little bit, and that nice sun and fresh air, I tell you, that means something. I'm thankful for that. I'm ready for some nice weather. I think some cold weather's coming back around, maybe next weekend or what have you, but I'll take it while I can have it today. It'll be a good day to get outside and enjoy it. You sure will, with your family. And I've been studying along the lines of putting God first, and I was led to these scriptures here, looking at Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, and thinking about what it means to put God first. You know, it's easy. Sometimes we can do things with lip service. We can say things before we think things through, and we can be overexcited about things sometimes. But when you look back, if you go back and read this chapter, it's a long chapter. But if you go back to the first of this chapter, they hit the ground running. The disciples were out. The Lord was telling them what to do. They hit the ground running, so it created a whole big stir, and everybody was excited. Everybody wanted to see what was going on. Everybody was trying to get involved, and by the time you get down here, as new disciples had an opportunity to take part, they're like, "Yeah, sign me up, sign me up, sign me up." And the Lord said, "Now wait just a minute. Let me explain a little bit to you about what this is like." You know, it's easy for us to jump into things headlong without thinking things all the way through, thinking we're doing something right, but it's so important we slow down and see what the Lord has for us, each and every individual here this morning. It's easy to preach to a nation, easy to preach to a community or to a church, but I really want us to see this as individuals this morning, because that's what makes this church up. That's what makes this community up. If you won't change, it does start with you. But we can see some things here this morning. We'll read, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll jump into the service, or into the message. Verse 57, it says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." That sounds good. You see that a lot of places in the Bible. People are very fervent or zealous in what they say, but they don't even know what they're talking about. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but thou go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this day. Just what a beautiful day that you've given to us, the fresh air. Lord, just to be able to step outside and feel the warmth and the sun and just how good that feels, Lord. We just thank you so much for that. God, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here today, to see everyone, Lord, and just all that are in attendance. God, I know people are looking for different things, needing different things in their life. God, I pray that you fulfill those here today. Lord, those that are lost, God, I pray you touch their hearts. God, help them to see their need of salvation. Lord, help them, convict them, Lord, today. I know last week someone raised their hand, God. I just pray, Lord, I pray that you touch and you move in a mighty way, Lord. You know who you're dealing with. You know each heart here represented. You know each need. God, I pray for Ukraine and everything that's going on in that nation. God, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, God, and as we see what's going on with Israel, the apple of your eye being involved in what is going on there, Lord, right in the middle of it as it seems. God, I pray for them. I pray for your leadership, your guidance, God, that you would help us to see and follow you the way you'd have us to, God. Lord, lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Again this morning, the title, Putting God First. Putting God First. This is a simple thought. If you want to be thinking of it that way, it's very simple. But how often do we fall away from putting him first in our life? It's just like Brother Tim said in Sunday school, what we do is a daily chore, is a daily routine that we need to be looking at here. Verse 57, and it says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. It almost made me think about Peter and how he was so zealous toward God. He didn't know exactly what he was signing up for, if you will. And the Lord quickly slows down this person and to tell them what they're doing. You see, an early commitment. This person is making an early committal to God without even fully knowing what it is. Again, he was seeing all the excitement that was going on around them. And he said, I want to take part in that. I want to do those things. I see the healings that's going on. I see everything that is taking place, and I want to be a part of that. Have you ever experienced that? You see a movement, and you want to get involved with it. You want to take part, and you want to get in there. But what the Lord is saying here is slow down. You need to understand what you're committing to first. It's not as easy as what you think it is. It's not as glamorous as what you think it is. You know, when you look at the work of the Lord's work, there's a lot of work put into it. If you've never helped put on a Bible school or never helped do some of these community service activities, you don't really see all the work that goes into it. A lot of times you see just the credits when they're rolled. This person did this, this person did that, and look how nice this was. Look how everything come together. But I tell you, when you're the one that is actually doing the work and you see it, it could have messed up here, it could have messed up here, it could have messed up there. All these details that were taking place. And what he's saying here, the work of the Lord takes full commitment. This person didn't know what he was committing to. He just saw the excitement. You know, it's easy to do that. It's a good work. Let's sign up for it. But you know, it takes full commitment to do the work of the Lord right. I think you'd attest to that, church. I believe everyone here would want to work for the Lord, would you not? Would you not want to get in there for the glory of God and do something for him? But it takes a lot of commitment on your part. The word commit, that means to give in trust. I think a lot of times we're quick to talk but slow to follow through. Well, you never said it was going to be that hard. Yeah, it's going to be that hard. The Lord explains it here. He explains some things out. I want us to do something first. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Talking about making a commitment. If you and I make a commitment to the Lord, that's very serious business. Very serious. You know, the Bible teaches here, in Ecclesiastes, it's better to not make a vow than to make a vow and break it. I remember when the Lord was calling me to preach, my greatest fear was that I was going to mess everything up. I was just going to mess everything up, and I just remember praying and thinking and even talking to my pastor and different people and saying, I'm afraid I'm going to mess things up. And you know what I was told? If you give it to the Lord and you're following Him, you're not going to mess it up. You're following Him. You're trusting Him. You see, that's the thing. It's when we go out on our own that we mess things up. You know, and just looking at this here, it's kind of a unique position to be in. You know, I want us to really focus on the Lord this morning. Don't focus on me. You know, I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes I feel like it's like, let's get out the scorecard and let's check these things off or don't check these things off. But hey, it's all about the Lord this morning. It ain't about me. I want you to see that. I want you to know that. It's not about anything of myself. I want the church help this morning. Church, I love you and I appreciate you and I want what's best for you. You see what's said here in Ecclesiastes 5. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. It's serious business. When you go to the Lord's house, you go there to expect something, to see something, or you should. You know, I came here needing something this morning. Very rarely do I preach that the message is not for me. It doesn't mean something to me. It does, is what I'm saying. It means something to me first. And I was looking at this and studying. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God and be more ready to hear. You see, we can come here this morning with all kinds of things on our mind. All kinds of things. Things that we have planned for this week. Things that happen over the weekend. That Carolina blue sky reminded me of a game last night that went pretty well. You know, I could be even thinking about stuff like that. But there's more important things to be thinking about this morning. Being ready to hear. Being ready not to hear what Jason has to say, but what the Word of God has to say to you this morning. There's no time in your life that you don't need to change or need to listen to God. It would be easy to let things cloud our vision nationally or here locally, let things slow us down, but you need the Lord in your life. You need to be following Him. I need to be following Him daily. What He's saying here, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not what they do as evil or not what they do as being evil. And so what they're doing is just kind of going through the motions. It's a false commitment. It's talking about false religion. False faith is what He's talking about here. We can so easily go through the motions. You could come through those doors just going to church because you think that's exactly what you're supposed to do, but if you don't apply it to your life, when you go out the doors, nothing has changed. You're not the better for it. So I would hate to see that happen this morning. As time is quickly passing on, this is another opportunity for you. It's not a mistake that you're here this morning. It's not a mistake that I'm here this morning. God has something for you, but are you willing to listen to it? Are you opening your heart to it? Are you opening your mind to it? Have you given yourself time to flush the world out and be willing to take the Lord in? That takes dedication. That takes some work. It's easy to hear everything that's going on. Your mind could be full of fear. Your mind could be full of excitement or all these kind of different things that's going on. But what He's saying here is slow down and be ready to listen. Be ready to make a change. Be ready to lay self-will down. It says here, be not rash. That means not be hasty. Be not too quick with thy mouth. How many people you know is like that? There's a lot of people, aren't you, Brother Robert? I'm telling you, you see it like that. I used to say there's a lot of people whose mouth starts running before their brain gets in gear. I think that's how you say it. It happens a lot. People are willing to sign up things, or people are willing to cash a check with their mouth that they physically cannot cash, or they can write the check that they cannot cash. It says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. He's saying, slow down and listen first. We can get ahead of ourselves. You know that? I've been guilty of that. Seeing something, wanting something, and then trying to figure out how to make it work in the end. Young people, I was thinking about you with this. How many of you bought your first car yet? Boy, I tell you, you see them shiny wheels, you see that shiny vehicle, I want it. You know, you can start migrating toward that before you realize, what am I committing to? Used to, it was about 3 to 4, maybe 5 years. Now you can go up to about 10 plus, I think, because really it's like a house payment anymore. That's a long time commitment that you're looking at making there. But that's what he's saying. Slow down before you start making commitments and before you start saying things with your mouth. Be not rash with thy mouth. And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. He's saying stop talking and listen. Is what he's saying. You know, it's easy. There's times I'm in, but God, I want this. But God, I want this. But God, I'm moving this direction. God, this. He's saying slow down and listen to what I have to say to you. Listen. Before you make a mistake, slow down and listen. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business. All these things that mankind thinks up, and I want, I want, I want. And a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. All that talking. All that fast talking. See, the Lord can see through that because he sees straight through to your heart. He knows what's in here. He knows what's in your heart this morning. When thou vowest the vow to God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. He said, when you're committing to me, it's a full commitment. See, the Lord wants all of you, not part of you, not what you say, because when you make a vow to him, he's already knowing what your heart is willing to commit to, what your thought of it is. You ever started a new job and thought, man, on the front end, this sounds really good. It sounds easy. Sounds workable. I think I know what I'm doing here. And then you go, and the first day, it's like you're drinking from a water hose or fire hose, and you're trying to take it all in. This is not what I signed up for. So that's what happens a lot of times. People are moving faster than they can, but see, the Lord knows. And the Lord can prepare you through every step of the process. He is there for us. He's saying, don't make a vow to me if you're not willing to keep it. It's better to not make that vow. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. That's backpedaling is what we're calling it there. Ah, yeah, did you actually hear me say that? That's what he's saying. He starts backpedaling. I didn't mean that. That it was an error, but wherefore God, should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities. But fear thou God. What he's saying is slow down and listen. Put God first. Quit talking. Quit letting your mind do all this vain imagination, creating all these dreams. He's saying slow down and put God first before you start making a vow, before you commit. And I wanted to read that this morning. I see how that can play a part in what we're talking about here. One thing I'd like to say about zealous people, and I like zealous people. I like people who, when they know what they want, they go after it, and they're willing to do it, and they're I wouldn't call them stubborn, but I would call them committed. But the problem is, with zealous people, it's a two-way street. You got to make sure you're heading in the right direction before you put the foot to the pedal. If you're going in the wrong direction, you're going the wrong direction fast. God is saying, slow down and listen to me. Slow down and listen to me. I heard it said in the prayer room this morning that we need to be patient. Amen. Amen. It is never wrong to slow down and wait for God. Never. Never. Have you ever regretted waiting on God? Ever. Lord, I wish you'd have done this sooner. No, the Lord knows. See, his hindsight is better than our His hindsight's better than our foresight. He can see around corners. There's times I've seen things happen that I thought this is exactly how it was going to be. What a beautiful thing it was going to be, and it didn't happen that way. And I'm like, praise God, look how much better this is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your answered prayer. Thank you, Lord, for looking out for me. Thank you, Lord, for looking out for everyone involved. How many of you want his will this morning? Do you want it above your will? That's the question. That's the question. You think about it that way. But we're seeing some things that's being said here. Verse number 58. As I hurry along, it says, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He's like, look, this is a lot harder than what you see it is. It's not all what you just see on the front end. There's a lot of work that goes into it. You see, the Lord, his mission was what was most important to him. You and I think about physical things a lot of times. We think about temporal things. I appreciate what Chelsea was singing there this morning, Sister Chelsea, and talking about those eternal things. That's what we need to be focusing on. See, that's what Jesus was focusing on. He was looking at these people here. He was looking at the multitudes, and he said, I want to take all of these people home with me. That was his goal. He wasn't worried about what was for supper. He wasn't worried about what else was going on in the community. He was worried about the people that was before him. That was his mission. That was his goal. That's what he was trying to explain here to these new coming potential disciples that wanted the power to heal. They wanted the authority and the ability to do these miraculous things, but I think they wanted it for a vain reason, because they saw the excitement it stirred and they wanted the excitement for self. You see, Jesus wasn't about that. He was about you. He was about me. He was about the people that was in front of him. That's what he had his heart and his mind on. And that's, you know, if you go back and you look through the Bible, Jesus did not waste any time. Have you read any scripture that shows where Jesus wasted any time? Never thought about it that way until this morning. I was looking over this and said, "Wished ye not, I must be about my Father's business." He was always moving forward, but he was always reaching out to those who were around him. See, this mission field is full. Watauga County's full of it. The university's full of it. Our mission field is all around us. You don't have to look far to find anybody that needs the Lord. Everybody needs the Lord. Everybody does. I love missions. I love what we do. I love knowing that we can help people overseas and we can help people everywhere. But there's a lot of people to help right here in this community, right here in Vilas. Right here, there's so many people that need our help. Families, the collegians, those people that are around us, we're able to help them in all stages of their life. What a blessing that is. I need it. I tell you, when I went through the biggest transitional phase in my life, this church was here for me. It changed my life. I grew up in church. Thank the Lord for that. But you know, here's the thing about it. You can be saved at a young age, but you might not be committed. You can walk through life kind of half in and half out. You're saved wholly, but you might not be fully committed. You see, you're missing out on the blessings of God if that's how you're living. You're still trying to figure some things out. It's not till a person is willing to fully sell out and follow God the whole way that they're going to see the whole power of God in their life. I've never heard a person say that they were not excited or not happy about letting God make the choices for them. He makes better choices than you and I, than what we can make. Things in our life, we think we see it a certain way. We get out ahead of God and get in front of Him. But we see these things here. Before I get too far down the road, verses 59 through 61, we see excuses. We see what people do. It said, and he said unto, verse 59, it said, and he said unto another, "Follow me." So he reached out to one, to someone. He said, "Follow me. Follow after me." And this person, he said, wait. He said, but he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." That sounds reasonable. You think maybe my father's just passed away and I need to take care of this. No, his father, from what the way I read this and understand it, was still with him. But he was putting something before God. Let me take care of this family business first. See, that seems reasonable, does it not? But what does the Lord say here? He said, Jesus saith unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." He's saying, those that are spiritually dead, let them go ahead and take care of those who are physically dead. You're preaching to those that have an opportunity to get to heaven. You don't have any time to waste. You see the urgency that he's given here. If it was urgent then, how urgent is it now? Our time is quickly passing by. We can let so many things hinder us. I've thought a lot about this, Brother Norman. So many things that could hinder us. Little things and big things. But God said, he is telling here, go preach the gospel of the kingdom. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Don't let your foot off the gas. There's no time to stop. There's no time. You say in here, you talk to another one. Verse 61, he said to another, he said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell, them that are at home and are at my house. Let me go talk to my friends first." That's what they want to do, putting family first, putting other things first, anything before God. And this is how Jesus responded to them. You look at verse number 62. If you don't have this circled, circle this in your Bible. It's something to think about here. See the urgency that Jesus placed on his mission. The mission of being the gospel. And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." I was thinking about, I believe it was in the Bible, they were Paul and Barnabas, they had a problem with, I think it was John Mark, I believe, in the Bible, or looking back, and they had an issue with him, how Mark turned back to go back with his family. And boy, that made Paul mad. He wasn't fully committed. He wasn't fully all the way in. This is kind of the same scenario here. God is looking for people who is all in, who's willing to follow him. And I was thought about this, and I know you've probably heard a lot of preaching along that. I've never plowed or anything, but I tell you, if you're heading down the road, if you and I all lined up, I envision the church, all of us lined up, and we're going in the same direction, we all start turning around backwards, man, we're going to be all over everybody's lanes, are we not? That's going to be some crooked roads. It's been years. I grew up, Dad put out tobacco, and some of my friends did, and I remember seeing how they would line everything straight, and there wasn't any looking back. It was always looking forward, always looking forward. You know, it would be easy this morning to look back at mistakes in life. That can hinder you. Things that you say, I wish I would have done, I wish I would have done this differently. I wish I hadn't have done this. That can hinder you. Looking back on life with things that you cannot change, that can hinder you. That can hinder you moving forward forever. What that does is that stops you in your tracks. Stops me in my tracks. And I sit there and regret and just looking back. The Lord is saying, keep looking forward. Keep looking forward. Put God first and keep moving forward. When I see things in the national headlines, it doesn't make me want to stop and look. It makes me want to do more. It makes me want to go more. I remember when I surrendered to preach that I thought the Lord was coming back right then. I felt it was that imminent. Let me tell you, we are so much closer to him now than we were 10, 12 years ago. Everything we see in the headlines saying, I'm coming back soon, does it not? Everything that we see, when you go through and you look at the book of Revelation, you couple that with Daniel and you see all those names, Russia, Ukraine, Turkey, you see all those names. Do you not see them in the headlines constantly? And now Israel, right in the middle of it, is that not what's going to take place? Is not Israel returning home? The prime minister, they're saying, come home. Those that are in the Ukraine, I think they said maybe some 3,000. He's urging them to come home. That's a thing in the Bible. You know, 1948, when Israel became a state again and they wanted to give them back, Israel's still scattered abroad. I think they call it Aliyah, if I'm not pronouncing that correctly. But that's the call of the Jewish people coming home. That's going on right now. That's going on right now. And I believe, as of around 2020, the country that had the most Jewish people in it outside of Israel is the United States. But you see how things are going. You see how things are going. As one turmoil happens, as another situation happens, they're calling them back home, calling them back home. I tell you, we need to be looking up. There's no, not looking back, looking forward and looking up. Proverbs 29:18. I'm getting ready to close. Proverbs 29:18, one of my favorite verses. And I'm sure you know it once you see it. I'll close with this thought this morning. Number one, are you putting God first? This would be another good verse for you to circle. But Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I just want to ask you this morning, what is your vision? What is your vision for you this morning? I remember a time in my life when I was younger and trying to figure things out, and before I even got married, before having a son, everything, I was just thinking, I want to be a family man. I want to have kids. I want this. I had a vision for what I wanted things to look like for me, but I remember also thinking the Lord was going to come back before I'd have a chance to have a family. I remember that. And I remember praying, Lord, I want this. If it be your will, I'd like to have this before you come back. But if you come back, that's okay too. I remember that's something that I really wanted. It is so important that we put more focus on our families. You know, our young people are seeing these headlines just like you and I are seeing them. And they're looking to see how we respond to those headlines. Social media is, our kids are seeing things and probably know more about some things than we do ourselves if we're not paying attention. Don't you think that kind of strikes fear or concern in their hearts? You're going straight out of an epidemic or pandemic, whatever you want to call it, straight into what we're seeing going on in the Ukraine. That's a lot for my mind to take, but a whole lot for a young mind to take in. Who's teaching them? Are you teaching your kids? Brother Jeremy Hull, he was talking about this, the importance of being able to teach our children at home what's going on. You see, if you've accepted Christ, if you're saved, you're ready to go. You won't go through the tribulation period. You'll be called out during the rapture. You don't have to experience that. It's absolutely important to hear it at church, but yet it's absolutely crucial to hear it at home. Mom and Dad, what's your vision look like? I look at it this way. Dad, is your life where you want it to be? Are you where you want to be for the Lord? Are you following through? Mom, the same question for you. Are you where you want to be and need to be for your kids or for the Lord? Our kids, children here this morning, young people this morning, are you where you want to be for the Lord? Are you following after Him? You see, here's the thing, after studying this that I saw so obvious, you cannot be following the Lord if you haven't put Him first. That's the context of the message. You cannot be following the Lord if you haven't put Him first. There's so many ways that you put Him first, there's so many ways that you don't, but you cannot be following Him if you haven't put Him out in front of you. What about it for the church this morning? What's your vision for the church? The church here at Mount Lebanon, the members, what's your vision for this church? I remember when I was here before and surrendering to preach and everything that was going on, I can't get our collegians off our mind, having one and hearing Josh come home and talk about their studies and talk about things. I'm telling you, church, that is an extremely crucial ministry right there. I know when I was at App working in law enforcement, there's a lot of mentoring opportunities when we had the police academy there. They still have it. There was young people all the time coming in. I loved it. I had a couch in my office. They would come in, cadets come in, people that had made bad decisions that I had to write up or charge or what have you. They were always coming in, always coming in. You know, even after that, it's a humbling thing to arrest a young person and then for semesters later, them come in and check up with you and just say, hey, I just want to let you know how my life's going. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mount Lebanon, you've got that opportunity every single year. Every single year. A lot of times in missions work, you go out. You go out. This is where they come in. I'm still friends with a lot of these people. I'm seeing them getting married. I've seen where they moved off, careers in law enforcement, different careers, things that's going on. Every now and then I get messages from them. What a blessing that is. It's not just what we have here, but young people all over the nation. Because when they go back home, what a blessing it is. We should have a burden for our young people here at home, the young people in our community and our local schools and those that are coming here to the university and heading back out. And we need to make sure we have a burden and a vision for our young families and take care of them. Because you know what happens if these families move out, then what does the church look like? You know, the Bible gives us an order to everything. Focus on the family. Focus on the mission. Talks about Jerusalem first and then the uttermost parts of the earth. You see the importance that is given there. That's the beauty of being a missionary Baptist. I love it. I love it. I love being able to help people at home and away. That's what it's all about. That's what the Lord told us to do. Either go or send somebody. Go or send somebody. But what's your vision for your ministry? You know, the Lord, I believe with all my heart, the Bible teaches, that's why I say that, the Lord has a ministry for every single person in here. You say, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher. No, but what do you do? Some may be teaching school. Some may be, right, Kurt, you're a truck driver. Different. You run into people everywhere. Some people know how to work on cars. Some people know how to mow lawns. Some people know how to do everything. Everything you do can be a blessing for somebody else and for the glory of God. But you got to be willing to put Him first. That's what He's asking of you. He's asking all of us, being willing to put Him first. We see the perils that people run into when they're not committed, not knowing what they're signing up for. But I tell you, the Lord wants you to put Him first this morning. If you will, stand with me. I'll ask Brother Dale, if you will, to come and get us a song ready. I appreciate your good attention this morning.